This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciation again to our guy, Seth Payne of Payne and Pendergast, for letting us know what's happening there in West Palm as the Astros are facing off against the Mets. Unfortunately for us.
It's kind of rolling in.
It went from an advantageous place for the Astros to a disadvantageous place.
Doesn't matter.
Place.
Doesn't count.
It is just spring training baseball, right? But, I don't think it was good for Ronel Blanco himself. He's obviously still going to be figuring some things out. But now Hayden Wesneski is on the mound, which is fun. So we'll keep an eye on what's happening.
I didn't know Jose Siri played for the Mets.
Yeah. And what a way to find out. Him going yard on Ronel Blanco, right? Like, hey, I guess good to see you?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure he pimped that home run,
too. He probably did. Spring training.
That's right. All right. Yeah. Let's go from West Palm and head to Indianapolis, Indiana, where the combine is taking place. The scouting combine is. And more importantly, the thing that's happening today was that D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of your Houston Texans, was talking to the assembled media. And there were some interesting things that came of it. And so we want to visit some of those things. And we begin here, Fig, with Cut 6. He was asked what a combine meeting with the Texans is like.
Yeah, a meeting with the Texans here at the combine. We hope it comes off as very loose. We want to make sure we're not trying to grill guys too much. I want to make them at ease, because I remember being here at the combine where I had some of those meetings where they were very tense. And so I just want to make sure guys are at ease and they're comfortable, and we just get to know the person. That's the main thing. We get a chance to watch as much tape as we can on these guys, but to really just sit down, helmet off, and like, let's know your background. Let's know why do you love the game of football, and what's your why? Those are the things that we ask our guys, and you know, we have to get a lot of insightful comments from guys from asking those questions.
So, you know, obviously this is not unique to the Texans.
No,
this is something, you know, if you go back and you look at some of the things that are commonly asked at these sample questions from the combine and all that, they're all variations of that. What I do think, though, is I think D'Amico Ryans is really good at it. I think he's really good at it. The type of person that he is, he's authentic. I think he's kind of a black and white guy. Like we want certain things. And when he asks you a question, it's very comfortable. So I think that's where it comes in handy. I would be interested to see Nick Caserio, though.
Yes, what his take is on this.
He's a little stiffer. I mean, all due respect.
There you go.
You know,
you're about to say no disrespect, but there's a little bit in it.
Yeah. And I wonder how athletes and players, respond to that.
Yeah, and all the reason why I found that to be interesting, like the question, is because we know that this team is not out there inherently just to like get their eyes on on the Underwear Olympics, as I really enjoy calling it. They want to get FaceTime with these guys. They want to get to know them, and so it is interesting that the questions, at least, it's not like he's going to come out here and read us all the questions. To be fair,
right?
But it is interesting that the way that D'Amico Ryans poses the idea of the question. questions is fairly simple. Just like, hey, what's your why? What's happening with you? Just to get a feel for who the players are. And it seems like for the most part, that has been a largely effective way of going about things in this time period. But yeah, again, it's worth remembering. Casario will talk tomorrow. Nick Casario, the general manager. And I imagine that he'll get a somewhat similar question. I'm interested to see how those answers differ. Not to say that they'd be asked, that they'd be different questions, but how, what the different like kind of perspective
approach
and approach is on it. All right. Other things that were asked of the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, at the scouting combine. Wide receiver is one of those positions of need for this team, especially with the, you know, Stephon Diggs being a free agent, Tank Dell having an injury. He was, D'Amico was at, talking about wide receiver prospects and the ones that are smaller, like Tank Dell.
Receivers under 170 pounds just need to be fast. So a guy like myself can't hit you. So, but speed is the redeeming quality. I think for smaller receivers, you having that speed, the quickness, especially those guys who are in that slot receiver position, like them being matched up on a lesser cover player, the nickel position, right? They can really make a ton of plays in the game just by utilizing their quickness.
How much do you think the Texans are going to value that type of receiver in this draft?
That's a question.
I don't think as much.
Well, I think that what might be some level insightful to that is a question. I will answer your question with a question. How tied do you think this organization is to Tank Dell? It's one of the things that we're kind of talking about a little bit off air is, you know, what you're doing going forward. I think it was with the Garrett Wilson kind of conversation.
Okay.
The idea of potentially trading for Garrett Wilson. I was like, hey, you trade for him, you extend him. There has to be some give somewhere if you're putting a lot of money up, right? And you have all these people that are getting paid. Derek Stingley Jr. still remains to be extended, and I imagine that happens this offseason. Will Anderson Jr. has an extension. Those ones are coming, right? Those aren't ifs. Those are whens.
Yeah.
And at some point, it has to give. You can't pay everyone under a salary-capped league. And I was like, does Tank Dell end up being an odd man out at some point? And you were kind of talking about the fact that there are some questions about him, especially with the injuries that you're dealing with.
Yeah, but I don't know. Look, I don't expect him to play at all this year. If he does, you know, it's found money.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, the Texans are a team that are very much, you know, in line with the measurables, you know, like a lot of teams. But I feel like at the wide receiver position, we don't know what Nick Caley values from the slot position. If it's a bigger possession type guy, an explosive guy, someone that he can use, like Bobby Slowick valued end arounds and reverses and that speed. Didn't always work, but he valued it a lot. We saw him all the time. We don't know exactly what Nick Caley, you know, has in store. But I do know that they have not had luck with the smaller receiver, you know, so I don't know how that's going to play out.
And I was more just thinking of like just Tank Dell in general.
Well, Tank Dell in general. Team. Yeah, I don't know. Like, what's his production going to be when he comes back? That's a big question. And I was telling you, I think it was during a break. I said that guy lost a lot of money, you know, potentially.
It's possible.
Yeah.
And if it's like, hey, that's not going to be if there's not going to be like an extended future for Tank Dell, and I hate to say it because I feel like everyone loves Tank Dell.
You got to think about it and consider it.
But like, yeah, with the severity of the injury, I mean, he blew out his knee, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, what does that look like coming back? What is the high end of that? I think those are questions that has to be asked. But bringing that back to a wide receiver and what kind of wide receiver, like, I don't even know that he was speaking specifically to something particular that he wanted, but just the idea that if you get a slot receiver that is small, or if you get a receiver that is small, they better have a redeeming quality. It's in the similar way that we were talking about with quarterbacks an hour ago. If you are smaller as a quarterback, you have to have a elite redeeming quality in order to get there. And I feel like with wide receiver, that would be that, which is level insight, I guess, into whatever the wide receiver looks like, the wide receiver, I guess, space looks like if you're looking there. Question on the Jim Allen of the Texas Hammer text line from the 832. Question, how fast is Coach Still?
Oh, yeah, because he said linebackers like me or guys like me. I'm like, all right, D'Amico wants to lace them up again.
Well, I do wonder, like, I think that's the idea is, hey, man, for dudes that were maybe like bigger and a hit harder, but maybe didn't range as much, you better be able to get away from me.
Yeah.
And I said this earlier, like as I was looking something up, I kind of poo-poo 40 times as not being like useful for actual football. However, anytime I want to see how fast somebody is, the first thing I do is, hey, what was his 40 time?
Exactly.
And it was a 4.65
yeah.
for D'Amico Ryans back in the day. And so I do wonder, like, Where how much do you think that is slow? Do you think he's still sub five?
Ooh, probably right at five, right? 5.51.
He's still active. I just don't know how
he's
much.
He's in great
shape,
but he's not the player he was.
Yeah, how much sprinting he's still doing right now. I do wonder. I wonder if he's sub five. Let me know what you think on the text line as we continue revisiting some of the things that D'Amico Ryans has said out there at Indy. Speaking of wide receivers, this is at least what D'Amico Ryans has to say about wide receiver Tank Dell and his recovery from his injury.
Yeah, Tank he's still going along through the process of recovering and healing, but he's in great spirits. That's the main thing about Tank. Right? He's got a smile on his face while he's going through the rehab process, so he's headed there. In due time, he'll be back.
Man, is it just me, or is that not exactly? I mean, sometimes you want him honest, and it seems like he was honest. Good spirits, in due time, all that. And, you know, it ties in with what we're talking about here with the speed. What's his speed going to be? What's his, shiftiness going to be, though, his cutting ability and all that, you know, when he comes back? It's a big ask to expect the same Tank Dell, at least in the near future.
Yeah, I think so as well. All right. How about this? And this is the one that I was really intrigued by, I guess, question-wise. This is D'Amico 9. D'Amico was asked, what is his and Nick Caserio's process working together on the draft?
Year three for myself and Nick working together, and it's been seamless. Like, it's easy because we see football the same. We know the type of players that we want on our team. We know that mindset that we're looking for in players. It's guys who have that relentless mindset, guys who love football. Those guys jump out to us, right? Guys who are leaders, that jumps out to us. Those characteristics that they don't lose those when they come into the NFL. If guys were leaders at college, guys play with a certain play style and a demeanor in college, that's going to carry over to the NFL. So those are the type of players we look for, and we want good people, right? And that's the thing that me and Nick agree on the most. You want to win, but you want to win with great people, and we both believe that you can do that, and we've shown that by some of the guys we drafted in CJ, Will, Kamari, Henry, Toto. It's just a lot of great people, and it's fun when you're working with great people who are talented and they're like-minded, and we're all reaching that same goal.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, they have in common. You know, I think the other thing that – I think they're kind of good for each other because of the differences they might have. Not in the good people thing. He just talked about that. But just like style of particular plays, players. D'Amico's talked about it in the past. Like, they bounce these ideas off of each other. If you have a good relationship and you have the baseline of type of player you want – I think those things start to mesh a lot better. Everything else starts to mesh a lot better.
And that's what I found interesting is like he seemed to kind of be indicating that, or unless you heard it differently, that these guys have kind of melded in some ways between D'Amico Ryans as the head coach, Nick Caserio as the general manager, on what they are looking for from a particular player. And I kind of love that. I love that, and I hope that is like in all actuality, the actual way that these things progress, because then you have, obviously you still want to have different ideas and, a kind of a multitude of ideas, kind of a diversity of ideas, in fact. But the idea that they have a oneness, there's a synergy there, so that there's, they can go about attacking that in a very particular way. And I'm very interested in seeing, like, what comes of that in this particular offseason, where it's a vital one. Like, there's a lot to be answered and the way that they want to go about things. And I know it sounds good to have great guys.
Yeah.
Do you think that is an unnecessary, like...
No, I think it matters. Okay. I don't think you necessarily have to have... In fact, Nick Caserio said something, opposite of that with Payne and Pendergast. He says, we don't want a bunch of choir boys.
Yeah, the D-line at the very least.
Yeah, so I think the... And that's... those two things right there perfectly illustrate why they're good for... If you're good with each other, on a personal level... And philosophically, you can maybe be different on other things and still come to the right decision. We've seen it. Like, I feel it was very likely, probable, that, Bobby Slowick was a D'Amico guy and kind of influenced and convinced, not that it was bitter or anything, but, sort of influenced Nick Caserio into like, yeah, that's going to be our guy. Now, this year, they had another hire. And I think it was the other way. I think Nick Caserio's, very familiar with Nick Caley, and maybe, had
D'Amico said he made the hire, man.
He didn't make the hire, but I think we know better than that. I mean, he didn't have, and Nick Caserio said as much, that he was a part of it. So I think it's good to have like that.
And then how about this? I know that this has been a question that has been up and down all over the place because of the tush push. In fact, we talked about it earlier in around the NFL with B. Scott. So this is D'Amico Ryans' thoughts. Does he have any feelings on the tush push and its place in the NFL?
When it comes to that, you know, QB sneak play, I think each team is different. When they had Jason Kelce, an old teammate of mine, he was really good at executing that play. And it just, other teams have tried it. Some teams have stopped it. So, you know, we'll see how those discussions go over the next couple months. But for me, either way, like you executing a play, it's just difficult to stop. Yeah, you keep running that play, and the Eagles benefited from it, and they've done an outstanding job.
That was a very nice way, a very D'Amico way of saying, just stop it. He's with us, I think.
Did we expect anything different?
Actually, some head coaches, you know, today were saying, I never liked it. You know, Raheem Morris said as much. He's making the rounds right now. Never liked it. I don't think it should be in the league, and I'm paraphrasing, but still, that's what he's saying. D'Amico is, I think, more in line with us, like, just, you know, freaking stop it. Make a play.
Right. That's some of what D'Amico Ryans is talking about. There's more to be heard, and I imagine we'll get some more of that audio for you, and especially I'm sure you'll hear it on the drive with Clint Ron here in a little bit. Before we go, though, it's worth noting, D'Amico ain't out there talking by himself. Like, all of these coaches are out there at the combine talking, and front office members as well. And some of the things that I saw earlier today that was kind of interesting, like Ryan Poles, general manager of the Bears, he was talking about and indicated, rather, that they are ready to start spending on offensive linemen in free agency. Why is that interesting to me? Well, I mean, offensive line is one of those things that the Texans need, and not just off of that based alone, but you get that. You get some other general managers talking about, you know, various things that they are interested in. And it sounds like there is a significant market for some of the linemen that are going to be free agents out there. And I wonder if that pushes some of the numbers into a place where free agency might not be as palatable a place for you to address some of your offensive line issues.
We've talked about, you know, all the players on the offensive line that are going to be out there. The more competition, it just stands to reason that it's going to be maybe a draft, you know, is where the Texans look. In fact, he was asked about it later in that interview, and we'll play that, of course.
Yeah. So, appreciation to all the people out there in Indy giving us a little interesting insight from D'Amico Ryans. Like I said, we'll get more of that audio as we go on the program and as we go right here on Sports Radio 610. All right. Coming up next, or actually before we do that, it is the 1 o'clock hour. And so, as that is the case, on a Rodeo Ticket Tuesday, let's give away some rodeo tickets. How about a 4-pack of tickets to see John Party? And you will have that opportunity just by being caller number 6 right now to 713-572-4610. You'll get that 4-pack of tickets to see John Party at the Houston Rodeo, courtesy of us here at Sports Radio 610 and Odyssey. All you got to be, caller number 6 right now, 713-572-4610. All right. And somebody said, I think the defense stopped them from getting close enough to do that. Is it? Do you feel like D'Amico has that level of confidence just because he goes, "Nah, we good enough to stop it"? Maybe.
I think so, man.
Sorry about y'all.
No, I think that's true.
I think you do feel like that.
I think that's true. Absolutely.
That's funny. All right.
I'm glad he did that too. He didn't cop out. Like, I mean, just stop it, man.
Get up here. Yeah. Hey, get up here and play football.
Make a tackle.
That's right. And somebody said, address the offensive lineman in free agency. Use the draft for skill positions and defensive tackle.
Yeah, but you just said it.
I like the idea.
It's going to be expensive.
And look, that does not necessarily have to be entirely prohibitive, but it does seem like, at least from what we're hearing from general managers, it seems like that there's going to be a relatively robust market for offensive linemen out there. So you might have to pay a little bit more to do that. And maybe they'll have to do some of the things, flip the switches and the levers in order to create some of that space in order to go into free agency and do that. But just a precursor to free agency opening up in a couple weeks, right? Thereabouts. I think it's like the 13th, 14th of March is when we get into free agency. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're coming to that time where we typically hand it off to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for it?
Yeah, so I got stories about a stupid criminal, a mistaken criminal, and a Candy Crush addict that gets paid.
Oh, wow.
Well, when you said Candy Crush addict, I was like, maybe he's talking about me, but I haven't gotten paid. Regardless, we'll discuss it next.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy Mixtape on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. And a quick shout out to Aaron Trevino, who just won a 4-pack of tickets to the Houston Rodeo to see John Party.
You love to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he wanted me to bring this up. He said, why y'all don't really talk about Tim Settle as much? He should be getting a lot of love. And then he also mentioned that Tim Settle went to go visit, I want to say, his kid.
Oh,
in the
that's a good reason
point.
To love Tim Settle.
Yeah, so salute to Aaron for winning the tickets, and salute to Tim Settle, man.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been showing Tim Settle a lot of love, especially on the field.
But, yeah, but I guess when
salute to him doing stuff off the field, too.
Yeah, and absolutely. All these Texans, man, they do a great job being in the community. That's one thing you can absolutely say about this Texas team. I think probably also free agency is the situation where we probably – need to show Tim Settle a little bit more love, but I mean,
because he's still on the team. He's not a free agent, right? Is he a free? He's not a free agent. I want to say.
I got to double check.
I can't remember because
now that you said that, I'm like, I got.
I want to say he's on the team technically. So,
but yeah, I mean, like also that's as much as Tim Settle was good. Like they clearly want to upgrade.
No, absolutely. That's one of the go tos for them this offseason.
Yeah, you're right. Tim Settle is still under contract.
Okay. Salute to Tim Settle. So, from one good person to a stupid person. And this is a stupid criminal. I don't know if I should be impressed with how stupid this was, mm-hmm. or I mean, I guess both can be right at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a guy in Washington State who got two DUIs that, you know, not really impressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
In two nights. So back to back nights.
Oh, no.
How?
After crashing his car in the same damn interception. At the exact same time.
So he had.
So he got two DUIs. He got pretty much got in a car crash.
Let's say Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep. Tuesday and Wednesday in the same interception at 9:47 p.m. both nights.
Unbelievable.
No, you're lying. The exact same time?
The exact same time.
That is metronomic regularity and consistency.
The funny thing is the same two cops arrested him both times.
Oh, I believe it. They're on duty.
They're like, wait, man, what? We just got you yesterday.
Well, that's why,
bro.
I said, how? Because wouldn't he have been in jail after the first one?
So this is what happened. I kind of break down the story.
Yeah.
So the cops arrested him and released him the next day.
Okay.
So then a few hours later, he did it again in the same damn spot. So a woman called 911 on Sunday at 9:47 after the guy crashed into the parked car.
Yeah.
She said he seemed drunk, and he was. His breathalyzer clocked in at 0.31.
Oh, wow.
Almost four times the legal limit. So the cops arrested him, released him the next day. Then a few hours later, he did it again in the same spot at the same time. And the cops were dispatched to the same intersection at 9:47 again. The only difference was he didn't crash into a parked car.
Mm-hmm.
He crashed into a tree stump in somebody's yard. And this time he only blew a 0.3.
Oh, zero. Oh, only.
Yeah, only.
He went
only
from 3.1 to 3.
Yeah, so the judge.
He's getting closer.
Yeah. So the judge upped the bill to $50,000. And the sheriff posted about this on Facebook and said he's not sure. He said he's not sure duplicate crimes like this have ever happened in the history of modern.
I find it hard to believe.
I don't know. I mean, I know it's stupid. You shouldn't be driving drunk or anything anyway, but. That's kind of impressive.
I was just
going to
say, the exact same thing. It's dumb. It's stupid.
I'm glad nobody got hurt or anything.
The man clearly has some major problems. If he's blowing a 0.31 and a 0.3 on back to back days.
That is negligent.
That is absolutely, it's sad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was going to say that it's kind of impressive.
Yeah, like, how did you do that?
Yes.
Is he one of those
people next day?
Yeah.
Is he one of those people that just, like, every day he does the same thing at the same time?
Has to be,
because to hit the same intersection at the same exact time,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
With the same, like, I that feels like I go to the bar,
mm-hmm.
I have seven drinks, I get in the car, I drive. Like, that's what it feels like. Mm-hmm. He literally does, because also blowing the same exact BAC.
Yeah.
Like, he must have drank the same exact stuff.
He must have had the same amount of drinks he had the previous night.
Wife tells him, you got to be home by 10, 9:47 every night. Boom.
Again, it feels bad to laugh because, like, he was out here driving dangerously.
At least no one seems to have been hurt, although this guy's killing himself.
Yeah. He needs to sit down for a little bit,
he's
man.
He's killing himself. 0.3 back-to-back days?
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. You are clearly an addict, right?
Yes.
It's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You got it.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of addicts, I think this woman is a Candy Crush addict.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Reggie, you are a big fan of Candy Crush. You kind of play it. During the show sometimes, during meetings.
I'm kind of a nervous, like, mm-hmm. you know, fidgeter of sorts. And I like those games that you don't
have open right now.
You don't have to pay a lot of attention. Well, I mean, he mentioned it, so I might as well. But, you know, the games that you don't have to pay too much attention to, but you can kind of, like, just do, like, Minesweeper, 2048.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just kind of mess around with them. Just keep my hands busy.
Yeah, so British woman, Candy Crush Addiction, just earned her $215,000 I guess in a court situation.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, so
keep going. I'm just taking notes.
Yeah, so here is ITV News kind of breaking down why she came out a rich woman for being addicted to Candy Crush.
Ever spent a little too much in a mobile game? Well, Beth, not her real name, took it to the extreme, losing thousands of pounds to Candy Crush without realizing her medication was to blame. She was prescribed a drug in 2014 for relentless leg syndrome. That's a condition that causes an uncontrollable urge to move your legs. But no one warned her one of the side effects of the medication is that it can trigger compulsive behavior. Soon after, she was making multiple in-game purchases every day, spending £3.99 at a time over and over again. Things got worse when she got a VR headset in 2018, moving from Candy Crush to virtual casinos. By 2022, she was deep in debt, before finally discovering the medication was to blame after getting help for her gambling addiction. Beth has now won £170,000 in a legal case against her doctor and GP surgery, which admitted to multiple failings, including failing to review her medication each year and failing to act on the fact Beth was taking more than the max recommended dose.
So the medicine made her, I guess, obsessive about it.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It's kind of got me thinking, like, should you blame alcohol if you, like, got a gambling problem? If you drink it, can you blame it on that?
Well, I'm surprised that she won there, because at the very little bit at the end, can you run that back for me? The very little bit at the end felt like, oh, and where was the good lawyer that was like, this is clearly the issue and you're not getting money off of this? Mm-hmm.
Discovering the medication was to blame after getting help for her gambling addiction. Beth has now won £170,000 in a legal case against her doctor and GP surgery, which admitted to multiple failings, including failing to review her medication each year and failing to act on the fact Beth was taking more than the max recommended dose.
All right, so that is the problem. Because I read the story, they prescribed double the dose, the recommended dose.
Oh, okay.
So would do it.
Okay, yeah, so they prescribed it.
It wasn't like she was taking more.
That's what I heard.
They prescribed it.
I heard it like she was just in here popping these Flintstones gummies and then realized, oh, yeah, this is making me do wild stuff. Okay, yeah. So they just prescribed wrong.
Yeah, they did it wrong.
All right, cool.
Ropinirole, whatever that is, was the drug. And, they didn't tell her about the effects, and they gave her twice the dose. Just give her some medicine. Just give her some medicine. She'll be all right. Well, not so much.
All right, so my notes are not helping me, because I don't think that any of this applies to me personally, so I guess I will not be making six figures off of playing Candy Crush.
Just take some, whatever she was taking. Take the double amount.
I don't play Candy Crush. I don't think I've ever played Candy Crush. Do you pay to play?
I sure as hell don't.
Nah. So what it is, because I played it back in the day, but what it is when you run out of options or I don't know what you call them, but you could pay a little more to get some more options so you could keep playing, you have to wait like 18 hours or something like that.
Would make her do that, I guess. If
some of them games
much,
do,
yeah.
some of them games do get real addictive because. Mm-hmm. I think it was Monopoly Go that got me, where you keep playing, and when you run out of turns, then it's like, man,
I gotta keep playing.
Yeah. Let me pay this $5 to get 100 more turns.
Yeah.
And then that's how they kind of get you in a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, man. Hopefully she good, man.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they got her. Here's the tough thing. If they told you, my bad, we gave you too much, are you willing for them to just be like, well, here, take this, but just less of it? Or am I like, can we get something else entirely?
That's
I feel like I'd be in a place where I need an entirely different.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, she addicted to it.
Yeah.
Where she felt like she needed it.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yikes.
So now we got a guy that's a mistaken criminal. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sucks that this type of stuff happens. But I guess the good thing is they figured it out and released this guy. So a 51-year-old guy in Hawaii named Gordon Cadero. Mm-hmm. He got out of prison on Friday after spending 30 years behind bars for a crime he did not commit.
I hate those stories.
Yeah, he was convicted of killing a guy in 1994 over a drug deal going bad. But he always maintained his innocence, and DNA evidence finally cleared him.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things he did was when he got out of jail was a nice steak dinner, which, you know, I'm not mad at because I'm sure you ain't got no nice steak inside a prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for some reason, I believe that they're not serving.
They don't marble their beef.
I don't think so. But this is where I'm getting at with it. So he went to jail in 1994. Obviously, in 2025, it looked like a whole different world from 1994. And one of his first comments was when he got out of jail and did a little press conference, mm-hmm. is he said, quote, everybody is looking at their phones all the time.
Wow.
He's right.
Yeah. So he found that weird. And he said he never seen cell phone zombies because smartphones wasn't a thing in 1994. And he only had a beeper during mm-hmm. that time. So it kind of got me thinking. I kind of made a little list.
Mm-hmm.
But if you left the 90s and came back in 2025, what are some things you would find weird that we do in 2025?
I'm looking at your list. You want to go through it first?
Yeah, I could go through it.
Because one of them jumps out.
Okay, the first thing I thought about was smartphones and having the internet in your pocket everywhere.
Yeah, the internet thing is probably the big deal,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like, obviously, internet existed, but just it did not
You had to sit at a computer,
yep.
or you had to go to a library or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So that was the only time you could have access to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was being able to read a book on any device.
Yeah.
That's wild to me that, you know, because remember you had to have a physical book.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And now you could just read a book on the iPhone. You could read a book on a tablet now. You don't necessarily have to have a physical book.
So both of those are really good. It's the next one that I think would blow me away.
The lack of using actual money.
Bingo. Like, think about leaving in 1994.
It was straight cash.
It was cash and credit cards that they used to slide or put on some sort of, you know, electronic device to pay. Now people are paying with phones.
You say that. I learned how to balance a checkbook because that was the time period when, like, yeah. moms was doing all that. I was woefully unprepared for how little we would use checks.
But
even with the checks now, like, if you write a check or you get a check from somebody,
all electronic,
you put it in the bank, yeah. and you don't get the money, the physical money out. You just use your card.
Yeah,
all digital.
That would blow me away. Like, wait, what do I, where's the money? It's on your phone. I had a flip phone, for God's sake.
Or even going into a restaurant that take no cash.
Cashless.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That would blow my mind.
This is the one that would blow me away. Yeah, yeah, from 94 to now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody said electric vehicles on the YouTube. Mm-hmm. Magic said the DoorDash or Uber Eats thing would be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy would that be? Because
there was always delivery, though.
It depends on where.
Domino's.
It depends on where you live, though. Like, if you live in New York City, everything was basically delivery. Yeah. Outside of that, it was mostly just pizza delivery.
Yeah, no, pizza and Chinese.
But again, true. Would that blow you away? Oh, it's gone from pizza to, you know, whatever.
No,
money thing would blow me away.
It would. No, the DoorDash would blow me away a little bit because it's like when you go to McDonald's, you don't think about getting McDonald's delivered.
Mm-hmm.
You actually got to go there. The drive-thru was a big deal. There, but knowing I could get McDonald's delivered to me, mm-hmm. it's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of mind-blowing.
I'm sure that he's just walking around like, look at all these bumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's so much that we have indexed on convenience at every given turn. Like, so many things are wildly mm-hmm. more convenient, you know, for better or worse. And I'm sure he's looking around like, you lazy? Are you for real right now?
Yeah.
Speaking of convenience, dating apps.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't gotta put your game face on no more and talk to somebody in person. Mm-hmm. You could just do that all from a phone. And
I mean, even if you did put your game face on, I bet he's looking at the young folks doing that, you know, macking a girl up and being like, all right, yeah. Well, I'll hit you up. What's your Instagram? And he's like, what?
What's my what?
Yeah.
What you mean?
Yeah, what's my
did you get the digits? What you mean get the digits? Yeah. I got an Instagram.
Just imagine just being in a bar just trying to game somebody.
Yeah.
Like, that art is gone.
It
now,
is gone.
Man.
Yeah.
Now, I think some people still do that. Like, out in public, they try to get with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But then they say, let me follow you on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then they do the rest of the game in via the DMs mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's not like you trying to get to know that person right then and there and leave with the digits.
Yeah.
Now you just be like, I follow you on Instagram, and then you keep up with them.
That's true.
Yeah, it's different. And the last one, this is the key one. This is the one that really would get me. Streaming music.
That's so what I was
streaming
thinking.
Music, videos, movies. There's no more record shop.
What's the latest Jay-Z CD? I'm trying to get that.
Open it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So you had to, like, make a choice. Like, do I want this Jay-Z album
mm-hmm.
or do I want this Nas album?
Yeah.
You couldn't just, like, go to anything you
download
want.
Download both of them.
Yeah, you could download both of them. You got a streaming app where you could just listen to anything. Mm-hmm. Movies. You ain't necessarily got to go to the movie theater anymore. You could just watch it from your house. That's a rare thing.
That's
man.
True.
Watching a new movie at your crib.
Yep.
Speaking of streaming movies straight to your devices, adult versions of that entertainment.
That too.
I imagine that would hit you in a particular
on
way.
On the phone.
somebody said online shopping in general. I mean, I do wonder, like, being at from 94, I mean, I'm sure he's kept up with some things on the outside. It's not like he's completely dissed at. But, I mean, I don't know what he went in for. Like, do you recall what the crime was?
It was a murder. It was a drug deal gone bad, accused of murder.
Okay, so drug deal.
Yeah.
Just our general societal change in attitude towards drugs also.
I wonder what kind of drug. Was it like weed or something like that? Or...
Yeah, who knows?
Because if it was weed, it's like now it's legal.
Right.
Yeah.
You just walk around in a lot of
it's
places.
Legal now.
That's right.
That would be infuriating.
He would I would be so mad. I made it for life on weed.
Now I think he was accused of murder.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a weed deal.
Yeah, maybe he was trying to get get some weed.
He's like, now you don't have to go through no deals where you walk into a dispensary and pay with a card. What? In fact, he probably can't pay with cash.
I think the other thing too is the vapes. That would be probably rare too. Like you actually smoke doing a vape.
You smoking a computer,
and you getting high right now. Like, where's the smoke? You don't even smell it.
Yeah.
All right. So. There you go. Figgy's mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. At the Figgy Fig on social media if you see something that you think needs to be in there. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, more from D'Amico Ryans from Indy. There were some more interesting things that he was talking about, including what goes into the Texas evaluation of offensive linemen. We'll get into that next.
Figgy. Thank you.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
Dante, you. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Tuesday. The Rodeo Ticket Tuesday will continue with the fellas of the Drive when we talk to them here shortly. I mean, if you have been trying to keep up with it, Astros Mets is tied at 4 runs apiece, and John Singleton, they ain't lie, he does look really strong.
He does look really strong.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a strikeout for him though.
It was a strong strikeout.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Was it now? Okay, I'll take your word for it. One thing that I just noticed, by the way, the Mets caps, I kind of love them.
I do too.
They instead of the interlocking YN, they have a Mr. Met logo. It's kind of cool. All right, let's return to D'Amico from Indy. There was a lot of interesting stuff, and I'm sure that the guys at the Drive will have more opportunity to break down more of it. I kind of want to get into this is cut 17 here, Figgy, if you have it, because offensive line clearly matters a great deal for this team and for D'Amico Ryan as the head coach. The evaluation of it is interesting to kind of get some insight into. He was asked, what goes into your evaluation of offensive linemen, D'Amico?
I look at offensive linemen, first and foremost, I'm looking at, you know, pass protection. Like, how good is the guy in pass protection? And then, you know, for everyone, for me speaking, offensive linemen, I want to see that grit. I want to see that toughness, right, that nastiness of how guys are finishing their blocks, right, what type of leaders these guys are, how passionate they are about football. That's very important to me when it comes to the offensive linemen.
I mean, if you're passionate about football, D'Amico's going to like you. That's pretty much his answer on all these.
Yeah, we've heard that a whole bunch, right? Like that feels like that's inherent within
that's
the kind of swarm.
Are. That's what they are.
That relentless mindset. Like that feels like that is inherent in there. You gotta love football. How did it hit your ear that he starts with, you got to be able to pass protect?
Now that's the part I wanted to get to, like the actual evaluation of offensive linemen. I'm curious, and I think, you know, actually he may have even been asked about this, how Nick Caley is involved in player interviews.
You want to get that real quick? Yeah, this is 13, if you don't mind.
That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, because D'Amico was asked, obviously, in the new offensive coordinator, Nick Caley. We know that, you know, Nick Caserio, we know that D'Amico Ryan's involved, but how is Nick Caley involved in player interviews?
With our new offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, he's in looking at the interviews. So he's just back just watching it. He's not here at the combine, but he's watching. We have him on Zoom, so he's able to watch those.
All right. Well, that wasn't exactly
what he said. Well,
that wasn't exactly what
well,
I was going.
I mean,
with
he's.
It sounds like he. It sounds like he repeated the question to you.
No, yeah. It sounds like what he was saying is. Well, I mean, he can watch him if he wants to.
Yeah.
But it again, similarly to what you know, mm-hmm. I think hit you when during the Nick Haley introductory press conference, I make the decision, or in this particular instance, myself and Nick Caserio make the decision on how the actual players that you're going to bring in.
No, I think that's where it's crucial that these two guys get on the same page, which they've talked about. You heard us playing it earlier today. But the offensive linemen, if we just focus on how they're evaluating offensive linemen, what I was going to say, I'm curious, you know, where the priorities are with Nick Caley. We've talked about how the assignments are different, the blocking techniques. The techniques, the actual techniques of footwork and, you know, where they want guys, you know, heads and shoulders on angles on certain plays and block. That's what I'm curious about. And I don't think they're necessarily tied in with the traditional zone blocking scheme linemen. As I've put it in the past, they're sort of a little more nimble guys. I think they're more versatile with what they're looking at.
I'll be interested just in general to see how the run game in general, blocking wise, comes out. I mean, D'Amico Ryan's not saying that. I don't think that clip that we just played intimates that he didn't care about run blocking, but pass blocking is clearly the priority. I mean, it would seem to be the case if you just looked at Laremy Tunsil and the way that he operates, right? That pass blocking is first and foremost with the way that this team operates. But also, I mean, as we talk about fixing this team, yes, the priority is protecting C.J. Stroud, but you also want to be able to tote that rock.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, Nick Caley spoke heavily about that this all kind of generates from being able to run the football. So I'd be interested to see, like, how you take that mentality and then fit it into the perspective that D'Amico Ryan's gives there, where it's like, yo, when you're evaluating and making sure that they can block up is first and foremost.
Yeah. And look, it's priority number one. It's your franchise.
Yeah.
It's your quarterback. We can talk about what they didn't do running the ball. We can talk about, defense. We can talk about any aspect of it. But, you know, the reason the Texans, you know, struggled and weren't quite the same team, it wasn't C.J. Stroud's fault. C.J. had a bad year. It was the line. It was the blocking scheme. It was the play calling that put CJ in spots where he just had to, you know, create things out of nothing. So, yes, I mean, absolutely. Priority number one is, you know, the protecting your quarterback. It makes sense. I'm wondering is it the top priority? We won't know till draft night. Like, is it that big?
Oh, how they rank the priorities of offensive lineman versus a wide receiver versus a defensive tackle?
Because if that, I mean, it's obvious. It seems to make sense. C.J. Stroud is everything for this franchise. Well, then why aren't we not prioritizing protecting him with our first pick? You know, and we'll know a little more because we'll see how it plays out on the offensive line, who stays, who goes, etc. But yeah, it maybe gave us just a little hint of, you know, where they really, really want to prioritize.
But of course, I mean, maybe that is not what the answer is if they draft a defensive tackle first,
right?
If they've used free agency in order to address that spot. Although, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about how some of the various quotes from general managers and such at the combine earlier today does make it seem like there's going to be a relatively robust market for offensive linemen out there in the free agent market.
Yeah, and maybe they're going to be smack in the middle of it, but we'll see. It's going to be a lot of fun starting now and going into the on-field stuff. But so offensive linemen, defensive interior, I think that's going to be their top priorities, and he kind of gave us a little thought hint there.
Yeah, not too surprising, but interesting to hear. I'm sure that, there's a lot more from D'Amico to break down there, and I'm certain that the fellas that are coming in will give you a decent amount of that. Clinton Ron, real quick update, it's 4-4, top of the fifth for the Astros, and Cam Smith is now in. He's made the defensive replacement at third base, so I imagine that there's going to be a lot of interest in seeing what he continues to do after a two-walk outing on Saturday. Like, how does he continue that forward? All right, we're about to welcome in the fellas of the drive, Clint and Ron, but before we do that,
yeah, one more thing that we didn't hear there, and we'll probably get to it tomorrow. He said he's actually, you know, showed some people, I guess players on the team and coaches, what CJ Stroud is capable of doing in a clean pocket. That's huge. Like I think he's kind of giving us a hint of like where they're really going to prioritize everything. They're not going to give away anything, and things could change if some, you know, player that they really love falls at a different position. But when you're showing guys, look what he can do. Look what he can do when the pocket's clean. That tells me that they are going to do everything they can to change the way things are up front.
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah. Fellas of the drive, Clint Ron. Clint, I like this Houston hat, man. It's
you like
clean.
That?
It is clean.
Appreciate it, bro. I don't know what I just walked in on.
Oh, what happened? D'Amico Ryan.
I was being facetious.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we're at? That's where we're at with CJ?
That's what he's talking about.
We're having to show people and tell people how good he is from a clean pocket?
No, I think he's telling people, like, we didn't do the job. You know, we got to change things up front. I think that's how them. I interpreted it.
Just them.
Not like making an excuse for CJ,
yeah.
per se.
Yeah, it's just interesting interesting tactic, I guess. It's this coddling CJ, man, and is just... Not that you're, okay. I know you weren't saying that
yeah,
they
yeah,
were.
Yeah, yeah.
I know
you that. Make I
just,
feel good,
but
man.
I just can't.
No,
I just can't help but get to a point it's where, the, like, I just. I mean, at some point with CJ, man, you know, we got to just. We know he can play, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, we know the dude can play. Let him become the leader that he is, or let him be who he is. Right. I mean, mm-hmm. We don't have to keep.
You think
that? That wasn't what D'Amico was doing. I get it, but it's just like that's just where I'm at with the Texans and CJ. Is just like
I do see what you're saying.
Man, you get a coddling feel,
yeah,
absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, I do see what you're
I mean. You got a dude that was rookie of the year last year and put up ungodly numbers in mid season this year. We're every week to the media. We're not going to be here without CJ. That happened to me when I fumbled the ball in Tennessee. Uh-huh. Like everybody in Arkansas felt like, hey, Clint, man. We wouldn't have been here without you, bud.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I know
still doesn't make it better.
I know you're fragile, man. I know you're on the verge of breaking, which I was. Hey, man.
So
trust me. When people are building me up, you know, I get it. But like at some point, we're gonna get past CJ. Like, hey, man, the adversity.
I get it.
Yeah.
Let's take this thing to the next level.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of taking things to the next level, in the loop, done.
How about that?
And we get into afternoon drive time, baby, with Clint and Ron.
That's all you got in the cross
next club? Well, I mean, I don't want to take y'all time like that, man. Y'all came in and you got into the CJ, and I mean, that was poignant, but I don't want to take your time.
I'm kind of not done with that.
We get in here.
Starting point.
Right
starting
here.
I just didn't want to get in the way.
Sorry, guys.
I'm seeing a response from the people.
There is absolutely a response.
So I had an in the loop response too, boys, but I don't remember what it was.
It's all good. We're here every day, just like you.
I heard the end of Seth's interview from Palm Beach. I'll be honest with you, Reg. I could sense you trying to get up out of there.
I wanted to talk to Seth. It was just, you know.
I was listening. I was like, all right, we giving tours of the West Palm Beach Stadium now. Let's get the hell on out of here.
It didn't help that Ronnell started going down the tank when we were talking to Seth.
In all fairness, I missed that part. When I just got in the truck and tuned in, and it was Seth stumbling around the stadium. It sounded like he was half drunk, like he was having some drink somewhere.
They lopped it off when I was 17.
Great content.
We did get a text from him saying that he got distracted by a churro. And you know what? That is fair. Churros can be very distracting.
Hey, priceless. Entertaining. Entertaining, boys.
I'm looking forward to your check-in in West Palm Beach and all the other fun that you have for the program. All right. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2 Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, the drive is live.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.